From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, here's the number to call, 800-462-7413. Of course, along with your calls, some interesting topics to talk about, Zorba.
Yes, let's talk about the super sizes we get at warehouse stores like Costco and Sam's. Could that be making us fat?
Oh,
is
interesting.
Is that a possibility?
And?
What's in the supplements? The New York Attorney General has made a cease and desist order. What does that mean for you if you are taking any supplements?
Oh, interesting. We talk about this all the time.
Fascinating. Right. This is talking about fraudulent. Right up there, right in your face. Hmm.
And we have a recipe.
Yes, chicken stuffed poblano peppers. Mm-hmm. And if you like Mexican peppers, it's absolutely wonderful. It is a fabulous, fabulous recipe. Mm-hmm.
Coming up later in the hour, and we will get to eat it, and you won't. You have to make it yourself. 800-462-7413 is our number. To the phones now, Zorba, a listener with us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. It's great to talk with you today.
Thanks so much for the call. How can we help?
Well, I had a very strange experience last summer. I am a volunteer at Festa Italiana, and I had an experience with e-cigarettes. And before I tell you about that, I want to tell you I owned a bar for 16 years.
Oh, okay.
Never had a problem with smoke.
Okay. Really? Okay. Why did you get out of the bar business, by the way?
I sold it. It was time to sell.
Did you like it?
The right buyer came along.
Did you like it? I mean, how did you like being in the bar business?
I liked it because the people in the neighborhood were wonderful.
Well, why didn't you have a problem with smoke? You mean there weren't that many smokers, or it didn't bother you?
There were, and we controlled it, but I was around it a lot. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm not a smoker, but it didn't bother me. But outdoors, I was working outdoors at Festa Italiana. I was in a booth. It was nighttime, and all of a sudden I saw these little blue lights, and the next thing I knew, my eyes were burning and itching and closing. I had to walk away from there. I went to the office, and it took 20 minutes before I thought I could see well enough to drive my car. And what disturbed me about this is I was outside.
This is from e-cigarettes?
Yes. I could see those six little blue lights, and the first thing I thought was, that's kind of funny. What's that? You know, it was very dark. Mm-hmm. And the next thing, all that vapor was in my eyes.
Right, right. You bring up an excellent point. You know, I've got some very strong opinions about e-cigarettes. First of all, I think they should continue to be sold. I mean, I am not against e-cigarettes. I think if we have tobacco and alcohol, and in Colorado and Washington we have marijuana that can be sold, that's okay. But I'm a NIMBY when it comes to that. Not in my backyard. I don't want to have that e-cigarette pollution in front of me. Now, what are e-cigarettes? Well, first of all, there's nicotine in there. Nicotine will either hook you if you are a non-smoker, or nicotine, as a lot of smokers say, well, at least I'm not getting the tobacco. That's number one that's in it. The second major ingredient is glycerin, generally in most of them. And then there are a whole bunch of flavoring agents and other agents that we don't know about because there is zero regulation on them. They're burned. They're then put into a cloud. The cloud is then inhaled into the lung, the polluted cloud, and then is blown out into your face. And it's a perfect example about nobody in this day and age would come and smoke a cigarette right in front of you and blow out tobacco in your face. And here it is. People feel free to take their e-cigarettes and use them anywhere.
Yeah, well, you don't hear so much, or we don't talk so much, though, about secondhand effects from e-cigarettes.
Right. Secondhand e-cigarettes. So we've got to remember remember the fact that, first of all, e-cigarettes, a lot of e-cigarette companies are now owned by the tobacco lobby. So let's talk. I mean, let's do that. They've seen where the – they follow the money. They've seen where the money is. It took years to realize that it caused lung cancer. Years, because the tobacco companies basically took the research and stuffed it away as much as they can. It took years to realize that it caused heart disease. So people who say e-cigarettes are safe are fooling themselves. The answer is we don't know what 20 years of inhaling polluted, you know, polluted vapors that are not regulated will do to you. And you've got a perfect example. So sorry to go on so much about them, but I get more. I get the hate mail that I generally get, and I always say, "Bring it on!" Or when I talk about e-cigarettes, immunizations. Yeah. These are things that rile people up because there's a lot of science fiction involved around that. What did you do finally to help yourself?
I went home.
Yeah.
But like I said, I had to sit in the office for about 20 minutes until I could see well enough to drive my car. It was pretty serious.
Let me ask you a question, because you ran a bar, so you had people that came in your bar who you had to say, it's time for you to leave the bar. So, I mean, you know how to impose yourself appropriately.
Right.
What if somebody – you're in Festa Italiano. It's next year. And someone comes up to you and they're smoking an e-cigarette. What would you say?
Well, I don't think I can say too much, but my plan is to switch from my sunglasses when it's bright out and put some glasses on. And I'm hoping that that'll divert it a little if it should happen again.
I disagree with that. And I think we have to now assert ourselves, because otherwise we're going to have e-cigarettes all around us and the no smoking, you know, that we now have in our environment is going to disappear. I think you have to say, please shut that off. Thank you.
Okay.
And now that's now what happens is they're imposing on you, the person who's smoking that. And so when you say please shut that off, they're like, "Well, wait a minute. I have my rights to do this."
This isn't
The fact is they used to have their rights all over and we had smoke all over in the environment and I have my rights to free, you know, to basically free air. I think nicely that's the way to do
it. Did you say you were in the dark when this was going on?
It was outside, and the sun had set, and we were about to close. It was almost 11 o'clock at night.
So let me ask another question. What if somebody came up, and they had a big boombox, and they were playing loud noise, and they came up to you, and they did something with Festive Italiano, and it was booming at 80 decibels? Wouldn't you tell them to shut it off?
Yes.
Yes, because it would be noise pollution. There is no reason not to tell somebody smoking e-cigarettes in my face, please shut that off. I don't want your pollution. And eventually, what will happen is society will change and e-cigarettes will be treated, you know, like tobacco, which is okay.
Right.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate the call at 800-462-7413. And now, Zorba, before our next call, you want to talk some about what I think of as these huge box stores, warehouse stores, and
warehouse stores. So, are they adding to the obesity epidemic?
That's an interesting question that I wouldn't ever think of asking.
Well, you don't go to warehouse stores, do you?
No, even if I did, I mean, why would the off the top of the head is why in the world would that affect?
Well,
let me
ask a question. Do you think fast food may be affecting?
Yeah,
the
we
cheap
talk
availability
about that all the time. Yeah.
Well, warehouse stores, when you look at warehouse stores like Costco and Sam's being the most, they actually provide lots of large quantities of food that are pre-made. So I'll give you an example.
Yeah, sure, you think of that, but why would it affect how we use it?
Well, because it's the quick availability of cheap and expensive calories. So let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I go to Sam's and Costco, and I've gone to both of them for a number of years. So first of all, when I'm done shopping at Sam's or Costco, in both places, I can get a hot dog, a large Slurpee, you know, Coke, 32-ounce Coke, you know, at the end of my time. And I looked at it once and realized I can easily get 1,200 calories for $1.50. That's cheap.
Yeah, but
that's not where the obesity comes from.
No, that's like fast food that you're
Absolutely. Yeah. The obesity, at least one theory from this one guy, comes from the fact that you get larger portions of pre-made food than you would normally get at the store. So, for instance, I happen to love chicken pot pie.
Yeah.
Costco, they make a really good chicken pot pie. I looked at it and realized, really can comfortably serve a family of eight. Okay, I looked at the size of the pie. Yeah. We had two people over for dinner, and I served it. Well, we're not eight, we're four. Well, we kept on nibbling at the pie and nibbling at the pie, and before you know it, we ate most of the large chicken pot pie, which was made for eight people and not for four people. I've got another pre-made food, for instance, when we're having people over and I just don't feel like cooking. They're large quantities, and that may be one of the factors that we have.
Well, and also, whatever you buy, it comes in huge boxes instead of smaller boxes.
Right.
So there must be that temptation as you're using the whatever the ingredients
are. No, that's what it is.
To eat more of it.
Oh, sure. When I buy cheese at those stores, it's not a chunk of cheddar. It's a gallon of cheddar. I mean, they're large amounts of cheddar. They're like it's a brick of cheddar. And so I have more cheddar cheese. You open it up and you have a little bit more. But these visual cues and the cues of the food we buy may be adding to the obesity. Obesity is a multifactorial thing. And I'll give you an example. Back in 1990, no state had an obesity prevalence of 15%. 1990. So this is, who was president in 1990? Do you remember? It wasn't Reagan.
It was Clinton.
Okay, so back in the time of Bill Clinton, no state had an obesity prevalence of 15%. In 2010, every state has an obesity prevalence of 20% or more.
Yeah.
So in other words, since Bill Clinton was president to now, we have put on weight. And I think kind of like heart disease in the 60s, we kind of accepted that men died in their 60s and then we developed drugs and other things. We really can tame this obesity. We can tame this obesity epidemic by looking at a bunch of things. And maybe it's the big box stores. That's one place to look at.
Interesting. 800-462-7413. To the phones again, and a listener in Joplin, Missouri. Hi.
Greetings from Joplin. I have a question about a form of hyperhidrosis and its relationship to medication and anesthetic and how to deal with it. At the very slightest trigger of any kind of stress, I will sweat profusely on my head. I'm not talking just a little bit. I'm talking my hair will become totally wet. Mm-hmm. I will drip from my face. It's quite embarrassing and really quite a problem. I can't even do my hair in the morning and expect to come out looking halfway anything like I started.
Sure. No, it is embarrassing. You know, a wet head is embarrassing on a whole bunch of levels, and it looks like you're anxious to people or distressed. What medicines are you on? You on any medicine?
I take an antidepressant. This all started about 26 years ago.
Okay.
I'm a positive person. Uh-huh. I'd like to say that I'm sweet 16 backwards, but I'm actually 61.
16 backwards. I've not heard that. I like that term. I like that term.
I'm really celebrating this year. It's a good year, but I have suffered with depression. Uh-huh. So I take the venlafaxine. Uh-huh. I take medication as needed for chronic pain because of the orthopedic injuries. I treat it with Schedule 2 and Schedule 3.
So how often do you take a hydrocodone or codeine? How often do you take it?
Generally, at least once a day. There's some days when I can skip if I'm not doing a lot of walking.
A couple of things off the bat. First of all, menopause obviously can cause hyperhidrosis, which is sweating. All morphine-related products from hydrocodone to codeine can cause sweating. So, first of all, you might have a side effect from what medicine are you taking? What painkiller?
It is hydrocodone, 10-325.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And occasionally, only as needed, a Acadian that's a time release over 24 hours.
So the hydrocodone or the Acadian, both morphine-related products, might be producing the sweating that you are. That's right off the bat. First thing I would do is say, if I could get by without it, I wouldn't take it for, as long as I could, certainly a week, and see what the sweating is. The other thing that can sometimes help reduce sweating is beta blockers. Beta blockers are a group of things such as propranolol, metoprolol, carvedilol, and beta blockers can reduce sweating in some people. They reduce the adrenal response, and sometimes going on a low-dose beta blocker will do it. So the two things may be that, the codeine, and you may need a beta blocker.
in my research, I've come across something called
anticholinergics. And anticholinergics can sometimes also do that. They're drugs we don't use very much. The oldest drug being Donatol, D-O-N-N-A-T-O-L, was used for the stomach. And then there are other anticholinergic drugs, and you could talk to your doctor about one of those and see if they would work. And what I would do, because obviously you need the hydrocodone, I would do a test to see whether or not that's producing it. I mean, if you can do it, do that test. So if you can't do that, I would look at an anticholinergic or a beta blocker. And I talked to your doctor about trying this.
Okay. Well, appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 800-462-7413. And before the break, Zorba, let's try something new. Throughout the history of medicine, we've seen countless contraptions and elixirs claiming to cure ailments and professing miraculous health benefits. Right now, we're going to wade into the murky past of such falsities and medical quackery in a brand new segment we're calling Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba. Okay, Zorba. Tell us about Wilhelm Reich and his orgone energy accumulator.
Yes. Well, and Woody Allen, by the way, dubbed that the orgasmatron back in the day when he did
sleepers.
The movie. But this was an actual invention that a guy named Wilhelm Reich, who was a psychoanalyst, a really pretty much disproven way of treating depression and nervous breakdown, whatever that was. I'm not quite sure what it was. You know, this whole Freudian thing that came out. And Reich actually persuaded Albert Einstein to investigate this, and he had an idea. And he actually was a sexual evangelist, and he held the idea that a satisfactory orgasm made the difference between sickness and health.
Yeah, well, what is this accumulator?
Well, the orgasm, his idea was he had an orgone energy accumulator, and it was a wooden box about the size of a telephone booth. It was lined with metal, insulated with steel wool. And in the box, he said, you would sit in the box, and you would get an accumulation of organic, orgasmic energy. It had orgasmic potency, and this orgasmic potency would lead to an orgasm. Just sitting in the box, as William Burroughs said, he had actually gone into the box, and he said he receives, I'm going to give a quote from Burroughs.
Yeah.
He achieved spontaneous orgasm, no hands.
Yeah.
No hands, spontaneous orgasm.
Wouldn't most
because
of
the orgone accumulator.
Wouldn't most of us rather have an orgasm under other circumstances?
Yes, yes. I think you're exactly right. So Reich had persuaded a number of people to actually look into this. He obviously was a charismatic guy, and he thought that mental health, physical health could be better. He felt that there would be no war in the world if people would simply go into the orgone box, and a bunch of people did. You know, things like, you know, people like Allen Ginsberg and the others went into the orgone box. And as you know, that has been what I call a quack therapy. And we're going to put a link for an article about the orgone box by Wilhelm Reich on our website. And we'll also do a picture of the orgone box. And you look at that picture and you decide whether or not sitting in that box would actually get you an orgasm by yourself. No hands.
And this isn't like the 1800s we're talking about.
We're talking
this
about
is 1940, 1950s,
60s, up until 1970.
Good
and listen,
grief.
He persuaded Albert Einstein to look into the orgone box. This guy had what we call in Yiddish chutzpah.
Okay, well, we're calling this, at least for now, Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba. But let me give you some other suggestions. Maybe you'll want to chime in on other names we could call this segment. Maybe Cheese and Quackers, Blinded by Science, Pros of the Con.
Oh,
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's All Hoax.
Oh,
the snake oil files. Take two leeches and call me in the morning.
That's great. I like that one.
All right.
So we're gonna have voting on our website.
Yeah, so. Where do they? How do they do that? What is that?
You know,
website?
I don't. You know, it's magic. You know, yeah, it's something with. You guys go to the website. You'll vote. Then we'll look at the votes. We'll look at the top three, and we will make a choice. ZorbaPastor.org, or find us through Facebook.
800-462-7413. If you'd like to talk with Zorba, we have our recipe coming up. That's next. More of your calls, of course, and more of your emails to talk about at our Medical Mythbuster. All good reasons for you to stay with us here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. If you'd like to talk with Zorba, the number to call is 800-462-7413. We have more of your calls, some other stuff too, but I'm interested now, Zorba, in getting quickly to this recipe because our producer, Carl Christensen, as you know, has cooked up this recipe. It's sitting in front of me. I'm so anxious to eat it. The recipe is chicken stuffed poblano peppers.
I'm so anxious to eat it. That's right. Just want to eat this. You love stuffed peppers, right?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. This chicken, it's great.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's made with a different pepper. The poblano peppers have a different, little bit of a different texture and taste than green peppers. It's a wonderful recipe. Let's get on with it so that you can eat.
Can I eat as we're talking about it?
You know, as long as you don't spit anything out, that's
I probably would want trauma on like this. Anyway.
So, 4 ounces of low-fat cream cheese.
4 ounces low-fat cream cheese.
We're going to cut out the fat a little bit. A cup of shredded cheddar cheese.
Cup of shredded cheddar cheese. Mm-hmm.
2 tablespoonfuls of your favorite salsa.
2 big tea salsa.
1.5 teaspoons of ground cumin.
1.5 teaspoons ground cumin.
And I buy cumin only in Asian and Hispanic grocery stores because in regular grocery stores, for some odd reason, it is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 teaspoon of salt.
1/4 little tea salt.
Okay, so 1 cup of shredded cooked chicken. So you have to get cooked chicken. And, you know, in cases like this quite often, I'll get a rotisserie chicken. I'll use this for the stuffed peppers, and then I'll eat the chicken on another night.
That's 1 cup of shredded cooked chicken.
1/8 cup of freshly chopped cilantro.
1/8 cup freshly chopped cilantro.
2 tablespoonfuls of finely chopped red pepper.
2 big tea finely chopped red bell peppers.
Okay, so we're going to make 12 medium poblano peppers, halved and seeded.
12 medium poblano peppers, halved and seeded.
And 1/2 teaspoons of paprika or chili powder.
Teaspoon and a half of paprika or chili powder.
Now, this recipe is simple enough for you, Tom, to even cook at home. What are the chances that you will cook this at home?
Well, I won't cook it at home, but I wish you wouldn't say simple enough for even you, Tom, under any circumstances.
I wanted to see whether or not you caught that. So preheat the oven at 400 degrees. Line a baking sheet with foil, or you could use parchment paper if you wanted to. In a medium bowl, beat together cream cheese, the cheddar cheese, salsa, cumin, and salt. Stir in the chicken. After you've done that, stir in the chicken, cilantro, and once again, cilantro, for those who dislike cilantro, is elective, and you can use parsley instead, and red peppers. Then spoon about 1 tablespoonful into each poblano pepper, and you've cut those peppers in half. You put the pepper on a prepared baking sheet or the parchment, sprinkle it with paprika or a little chili powder, and chili powder that you would use to make chili. Bake it for 20 minutes until golden brown. It's got about 92 calories for each. And are you ready?
I am ready. This is in the pepper shell. And you could use
and you're going to see it on it. You go to our website, you can see this.
Yeah, you can. We're picking
and we're ready.
Up
and we're actually eating it.
That's so good.
Is this good? Uh-huh. Or what?
Remember when our last producer, what was his name, used to make food for us every now and
then? This wasn't this good.
This is so much better.
You notice something?
No, I'm not going to be able to talk with Colin.
Just don't spit it out.
How do I get this recipe?
You folks, you will love this recipe. Easy, simple, great for company, even for children. Everyone likes stuffed peppers. Anyway, come to our website at zorbapastor.org. You can find us through Facebook. And on our website, we have a bunch of things, resources, previous recipes, pictures of Tom, and all sorts of crazy poses. And
what does that mean?
I don't know. You know what? It's the peppers that made me do it.
I guess
it's
so.
Zorbapastor.org. Or don't forget, Facebook. Mm-hmm.
You're not having wine with that pepper, are you?
No, I'm having water to wash it down.
800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. Back to the phones now, Zorba, a listener with us in Spokane, Washington. Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Zorba. Hey, Zorba, my husband Dave and I sure enjoyed your visit to Spokane last year.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was fun to be there. It was great. It was great to be in the Bing, which is Bing Crosby came from Spokane, and there's a wonderful old theater that was renovated. Great venue. We had it filled with people. Loved it. Loved the people from Spokane.
So Zorba can actually entertain without me being along with him?
You know, he held his own pretty well.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Tom.
That's good to hear.
My question has to do with red yeast rice as a safer alternative to statins for lowering cholesterol. And I first heard about this from a friend whose husband had high cholesterol, and he started using red yeast rice with CoQ10 and dropped his cholesterol 41 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband has high cholesterol, so I thought, oh, maybe that would be a good thing for him. So I started reading about it on Consumer Lab, which I subscribed
to, good,
suggestion, and also on WebMD, and I just end up with a bunch more questions. So that's why I want to know what you think about it.
Right. Well, as you may know from Consumer Lab, a number of companies were producing red yeast rice, and then they were putting a drug in, lovastatin. And lovastatin was Merck's first anti-cholesterol drug. And basically the reason why the red yeast rice was lowering cholesterol is they were putting drugs in the red yeast rice to lower cholesterol. So it was basically fraudulent. In other words, it lowered it, but it didn't lower it because of the red yeast rice. It lowered it because, you know, they're putting a drug inside of it. And the feds actually gave them a cease and desist. But the feds do not regulate supplements. And so the reality is they don't continue to do testing at all. There's some evidence that it may help. But then again, there's a lot of evidence that when we change our diet, we lower our cholesterol.
Right.
So I do not recommend red yeast rice for people because I'm very concerned about the fact that they put drugs in it. But the other question is, when we look at cholesterol-lowering drugs, why do we lower cholesterol in the first place? What's the reason? The reason is because of heart disease, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Heart attacks. So let's look at heart attacks and whether or not red yeast lowers the heart attack rate. That's what we care about. I don't care about my numbers. I care about whether or not I'm going to get a heart attack.
Okay.
There's no evidence that red yeast lowers the heart attack rate. Now, there are a number of drugs that we don't use anymore that are not really very good that may affect the cholesterol level but don't reduce the heart attack rate. So red yeast might lower those numbers, but that's cosmetic. What you want is, does red yeast lower the heart attack rate? And so because of the contamination and because of that, I think that I would either stick with the Mediterranean diet and exercise, or I would take a drug where I know what the side effects are.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number. And a Post Falls, Idaho listener is with us now. Hi.
Well, hello there. My question for you today is, I had reconstructive foot surgery about a year ago, and I developed a rash. It started on my foot, and it has worked its way all the way up to my shoulders. It's not a you know, complete coverage, but it comes out in little splotches, quite uncomfortable.
Have you gone anywhere to have the rash looked at?
Oh, my surgeon has looked at it and has prescribed any number of things. I've been to a dermatologist, and nothing seems to want to work.
What kind of diagnoses have they given you?
They haven't really hung a name on it. They just said, okay, do this, and ordered a prescription.
Mm-hmm. How much time did the dermatologist spend with you, by the way?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot means what?
No, not a whole lot. You know, I put the gown on, and then she looked at it and prescribed vinegar and Vaseline. My son had had a similar situation, and so she did give me a prescription for the triamcinolone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, steroid cream.
Right. Otherwise, I have taken metronidazole.
Uh-huh, which is used for certain types of infections.
Right, mm-hmm. Fluconazole I've taken. Mm-hmm. I've had that Medrol dose pack mm-hmm. 3 times.
Okay, steroids.
Vistriol, mm-hmm. fluconazide.
You've had a lot of drugs there.
Then besides all of the antibiotics that I took right after the surgery, I've got about 12 different names here.
Right. You don't have to read them. I think knowing the number 12 means you've had a lot.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I like to do in a situation like this, because I clearly can't diagnose the rash, you know, over over the airways. But this is where you need a good second opinion. So the dermatologist came in, said use vinegar and, as you said, vinegar and Vaseline, and then left the room. Well, you need a dermatologist who's going to sit with you, take a history, and try to figure this out. That's really what you need. Quite often that's in a specialty clinic, you know, university clinic or a large multi-specialty clinic. I would make sure I have an appointment with the dermatologist, and the dermatologist can just spend 5 minutes. You know, sometimes it's a 5-minute visit, and 5 minutes is, you know, will be okay, but you need more than 5 minutes. And that's where I would do. Any joint problems associated with this, by the way?
Well, I have arthritis, so it's hard to say if there's any joint problems.
Uh-huh. Did it get worse when the rash came at all?
Not particularly. I don't think.
Have they done blood tests such as something called a sedimentation rate?
No.
No, okay. So they haven't done any blood tests. So they haven't looked for – I mean, you want to do blood tests looking at systemic causes of this too. And I think you need some more particular care with this. That's the nicest way I can say it. The short visit with the dermatologist was not satisfying. Didn't work. So you don't want to go back to that dermatologist. I certainly wouldn't. And what I would do is I would ask around town and see if there's another dermatologist who likes to do that. Or I often go 150 miles away to another clinic where they don't know the first dermatologist. Mm-hmm. And I say, I need a half an hour appointment to figure this out.
Ah, okay.
That's what you need. Okay.
Okay.
That's what you need.
I appreciate it.
Good luck. Please let us know what happens.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate the call. And before we take a break, Zorba, it's time again to hear from your favorite nitpickers, the Grammar Police. As we've learned, Zorba,
it's a catchy tune.
The Grammar Police's reach extends far beyond the United States. Today's infraction is handed out to us by a Canadian listener named Corey, who I like to believe is part of the Grammar Mounties. He writes, Dear Zorba, I enjoyed the first episode I have heard of your show. However, I am sure that I heard you say less calories. That usage is now so very common, I have heard it used on radio, TV, and read it in newspapers. Even Canadians have been guilty of using it.
Even Canadians,
yeah, I know.
You mean?
Canadian
snobbery over grammar. Come on.
I know you know this, but a calorie is a calorie. We can have more. We can have fewer.
Gosh.
I know you know this, but a calorie is a calorie. We can have fewer, not less. Best regards from a new Canadian fan.
A new Canadian mounted grammar fan. That's exactly it. Well, I will take that into consideration. Yeah. But, you know,
I hope
you know
but
language changes, you know, and if enough people use it, then it
yeah.
changes.
Well, yeah. In the future, I hope you have fewer mistakes.
Oh.
If you'd like to join the ever-growing grammar police, send your grievances along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 800-462-7413. More of your calls coming up. First, though, an interesting topic to talk about later on, our medical MythBuster, all right here on Zorba, Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our toll-free number again is 800-462-7413. But before our next call, Zorba, we talk about supplements every now and then. But in this case, the New York State Attorney General is cracking down on supplements from specific stores.
I think they're finally doing a good job. The federal government does not regulate supplements.
Right.
And as a result, supplements can do things willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. And this has a lot to do with the law that was passed a number of years ago, more than a decade ago, by Orrin Hatch in Utah, because there are a lot of vitamin and supplement companies there. And they said, well, we should not be regulated like a drug. That may be the case. And basically, there was a law specifically disallowing the FDA to do it. Well, the Attorney General examined herbal supplements from Walmart, Walgreens, GNC, and Target and found a number of them did not have what they said was in it.
So this is specific to these?
It was fraud. They called it fraud. That the stuff in it was either unrecognizable or things such as plant food. And these were in pills like ginkgo biloba. For instance, I'll give you the good example. In pills labeled ginkgo biloba from GNC, the agency found rice, asparagus, an ornamental plant, which was spruce, that is used during Christmas, and no ginkgo biloba.
Really?
No.
It's labeled
ginkgo
in the stuff.
Biloba.
There's nothing in it.
In GNC, they found no. In the St. John's Wort, they found no St. John's Wort. In the GNC Herbal Plus, this is expensive ginseng, they found no ginseng. Now, in the garlic, they found garlic. That's true. And in the echinacea, they found no echinacea.
Whoa.
So let's look at Target, because Target's a store I go to. In the ginkgo biloba, there was no ginkgo biloba, no St. John's Wort in the St. John's Wort, garlic in the garlic. Echinacea, no echinacea. And saw palmetto detected, no saw palmetto. Let's go to Walgreens.
Okay.
No ginkgo biloba, no St. John's Wort. No, it's, you know, kind of reads like the thing. Let's go to Walmart. No ginkgo biloba, no St. John's Wort, no ginseng. The garlic must be easy to produce because they all had garlic. So here it is. You're taking something, but there's nothing in there.
So this is kind of a double whammy because, first off, we don't know if these things actually do anything, if they are in the pills. And secondly, the stuff isn't even in the pills.
It isn't even in there. So, first of all, if you're going – obviously, the placebo's effect is enhancing what's going on here when people take these. I used to say take the house brand like Walgreens brand or Walmart. I'm not going to say that anymore. Go to consumerlabs.com. That's consumerlabs.com. Go there. Pay your money. Find out which ones they tested and only buy those. It's important for an independent testing agency to be involved in any supplement you use.
800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. Now, Zorba, back to the phones as we welcome a listener in Apple Valley, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi.
What's
up? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I have joint pain really bad. It started on the 21st of December when I was driving to Michigan. I drove for 10 hours. When I got out, my knees would barely move and they hurt really bad. Mm. And since then, I've been to 4 doctors. They prescribed prednisone. And it seems to take the pain away, but the pain spread. It's in my shoulders, ankles, wrist, and I don't take this prednisone. It hurts really, really bad. They did the lupus test. They did arthritis. They did gout. They did Lyme, and they just can't seem to figure out what it is yet.
Hmm. Can I ask how old you are?
58.
So first thing off the bat is we don't have a diagnosis. You know, there's not enough information here. What I do in my office is, you know, people come in with joint pain. The first thing I do is use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs called NSAIDs because they're safer. Ibuprofen, Aleve, those are both things that are over-the-counter without a prescription. Doubling the dose. So that's kind of step number one. Step number two is, well, if that's not working, I may give a burst of prednisone for a week to 10 days and say, let's see if that gets rid of it, even though I don't have a diagnosis. I might draw lab tests prior to that. Kind of depends on what the history of the patient is. I'll make a decision. But one of the issues is if the prednisone with a burst, because I have some people who they have a burst, they've got osteoarthritis, prednisone gets them over, they go back to ibuprofen and they're fine. But for many, there is another diagnosis made. Now, a rheumatologist actually does the best job of doing this. And it's because blood tests can be negative. You can have seronegative rheumatoid arthritis, which means a blood test is negative and you've got all the symptoms of that. The other thing rheumatologists are is they're detectives. They're really good at detecting other forms of arthritis that you have that make a difference. And if you've had more than one burst of prednisone, I think the answer is going to the rheumatologist. That's where you'll get your answer.
This is my third prescription of that stuff.
What dose?
3 pills, 20 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of prednisone. That is a lot of prednisone.
Well, I was on it where mm-hmm. they did 3 for 3 days and 2 for 2 days mm-hmm. and 1, but when I got down to 2, the pain came right back.
Yeah, yeah. You said your appointment is in a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to keep that appointment. It's important for you to see that rheumatologist. Good luck. Once again, it's a high dose. I talk to your family doc and try to get on something lower. So thanks for your call. You're welcome.
Good luck to you, and thanks so much for calling us. 800-462-7413 is the number you call if you want to talk with Zorba. But before that, Zorba, time again for our medical myth buster. Today's question comes to us from Kathy of Dallas, Texas. She writes, greetings. We hear your message loud and clear about the health benefits of the Mediterranean diet. My husband and I love fish and seafood, but it's increasingly more difficult to find wild-caught fish that hasn't been harvested from Indo-Chinese waters or caught in the U.S. and processed in far-off places like Russia or China. We've given up on ever having anything but farm-raised catfish again, something very sad for a Wisconsin girl who grew up a mile from the Mississippi River.
I've got an image there. Wisconsin girl, Mississippi River. Don't you have an image? The barge is going down, maybe some music on there and a steamboat. Sorry, I just want to tell you I've got the image.
Yeah,
Old Man River.
So what are your thoughts, she asks, about farm-fresh fish and seafood? Is it less healthy than wild-caught fish, or is that just a myth?
Well, you know, there are a lot of myths that are involved with farm-raised fish. There are, first of all, you can buy farm-raised fish that's raised in the U.S. You don't have to buy the stuff that's raised overseas,
right.
And you'll find generally it's cheaper when you buy the stuff It's farm-raised, but if you want to stick with U.S., you will pay more money for many things other than catfish, and you'll get it in the U.S. There are ecological ways of actually farming fish, and they're individual for individual fish because there are certain fish that can be raised correctly and fish that are not. Now, whether or not there's nutritional differences is quite interesting. I occasionally will get wild salmon. My daughter, who lives in Seattle, is a salmon snob, and so she will only eat certain salmon, like Copper River salmon.
We only eat wild salmon. We don't like
salmon.
The farm.
There is a difference because the farm-raised salmon, first of all, they feed them then colors to make sure that it looks orange.
Yeah.
So they're giving them a chemical before they're finished to make it look orange. And then the salmon has more fat in it, so it actually tastes different. Now, I find that I like wild salmon, but when I'm making lox, and we'll have to make lox once on the show, I have discovered that farm-raised salmon, which is fattier, works better for the lox than wild salmon. So they're individual individual differences. So if you want to make sure that it's ecologically raised, you may spend more money. Go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. I don't recommend Whole Foods for a lot because its nickname, Whole Paycheck, is exactly what it is. But they deal with ecologically sustainable aquaculture. And so I think there are differences there, but I don't think – it's a myth that one is better than the other. I think one is different than the other.
Yeah. By the way, Carl, when Zorba brings in lox, don't bother cooking them.
Okay, Tom. Got it. Thanks.
Have a question for the good doc? Post it to our Facebook page or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. And Zorba, our next caller, is a listener in Buffalo, New York. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Fine, how can we help?
Well, I'm just calling because about a year ago, I woke up one day and could no longer eat food or keep any solid foods down. After tons of doctors and tests, I was diagnosed with something called gastroparesis. My primary doctor at the time had never heard of it. So I decided to change primary doctors. I have a new doctor who has heard of it, but there are not really any cures or treatments for this disease. I have not really had any solid foods in the past year. Every time I try to add foods, I get very, very ill. I started getting acupuncture, which has been helpful, but I'm just wondering if there's really any other kind of natural or holistic type approaches that you know of that I could take in treating this disease because I haven't been very successful with it.
And gastroparesis means you just don't have the peristalsis in, you know, the movement in your gut. Have you been on metoclopramide, by the way?
I have been on Reglan. I had horrible side effects.
Okay, so tell me what you're
right now is domperidone.
And domperidone is another. Tell me what your side effects were on the Reglan.
Shaking. Mm-hmm. Sleeping, like I could not keep my eyes open. Uh-huh. I was twitching. Uh-huh. I felt 10 times worse on Reglan than I did.
Okay. Did you try 1/2 or 1/4 of the dose?
Yes. I tried very, very tiny doses and just
Cause
it made me feel even worse.
Because that's the other thing often with drugs that have side effects is you find is you try the tiniest dose. So none of the drugs have worked for you at all?
Domperidone has helped a little bit. It got me to the point where I'm not nauseous 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
But that's really the only thing it got me to. It hasn't helped me to process any solid foods. Sure. I'm basically living on protein.
Yeah. Do they know why? Is there any explanation why you don't? I mean, it's a side effect of diabetes. Do you have diabetes?
Nope. They ruled me out for any of the causes and gave me an idiopathic diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And they said that they suspect it was viral, but they don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, I don't have any magic treatment for this. It's a real problem because your gut is just not working properly. Generally, if it doesn't work, if it doesn't restart after 2 years, I don't know if it would restart. I would try all the drugs, all the medical drugs that are there. Like you said, the domperidone has helped you a little bit. Reglan, which is the most common drug that you just don't tolerate. I don't know anything in the natural food armamentarium. I think using acupuncture is a really, really good idea. And then in situations like this, quite often, I'll try to find the world's foremost authority. I would do a Google search to try to find out where they deal with gastroparesis. And then I'd probably give them a call. I don't know if I would travel thousands of miles initially or write a note and say, what are the drugs that you use? Talk to a resident, for instance, in that university site that may deal with gastroparesis. Because your question is, are there any drugs out there? Because the drugs you're mentioning are really the most common drugs. And I don't have any good answer for you beyond that. The protein shakes are there. Your gut may wake up again. That's the one thing. It can take years sometimes for this to recover.
All right, yeah, acupuncture has definitely provided a ton of relief. But like I said, I still haven't been able to get the solid foods I tried to eat.
When you say relief, it's from the nausea, not from the ability to hold solid foods.
Correct. It's from the nausea, absolutely. That and I chew on a lot of, like, actual ginger candies, making sure ginger is an ingredient in them, and like hard candies.
And then for the nausea, have you taken on Dancitron, which is a drug we give for chemotherapy nausea?
No, I haven't even heard of that.
Mm-hmm. You may want to try that for the nausea and see, because it hits certain levels within the brain. Ondansetron, it's now a generic, and it's a very good drug. 5 to 10 milligrams, 2 to 3 times a day may help you with the nausea. If you can get over the nausea, you might be able to tolerate minimal solid foods. So I think I would try the ondansetron and see. We give that for chemo. Maybe it'll work for you. I certainly would try it.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Good luck to you.
Hope that helps. 800-462-7413, our toll-free number, 800-462-7413. And before we head out today, Zorba, let's take a quick email question from a listener named Chris. He writes, I've heard Dr. Zorba say on recent shows that there are no benefits to taking fish oil capsules based upon studies reported in the Annals of Internal Medicine. However, it is not clear to me whether the doctor is saying that the fish oil capsules themselves offer no benefit or whether omega-3s, which are in fish oil capsules, are of no value. Can you please clarify just what it is about the capsules that have been determined to be of no value?
Well, the first thing is this. Why do the capsules exist in the first place? Because we discovered that fish, people who eat fish twice a week, roughly, a couple times a week, have less heart attacks and less strokes.
Yeah.
We then industri-
you mean fewer, right?
Oh, gosh. Are you now going to be part of the grammar police?
Ta-ta,
oh, my God.
It's the grammar police.
I gotta love it. Anyway, I'm not even going back to that sentence. So we industrialize that.
Yeah.
And we industrialize it by saying, hey, we noticed that fish that is fattier seems to be more effective in bringing down the cholesterol. Fattier fish has more omega-3 fatty acids. Therefore, mm-hmm. if we put it in a capsule and we measure the triglycerides, for instance, and cholesterol goes down, triglycerides go down. Therefore, it must be good. Well, the long-term studies now, and these are good studies that have gone out more than a decade, do not support that claim. In other words, it's a cosmetic change in the numbers, but it doesn't reduce heart attacks. So my thought is, I stopped taking fish oil capsules completely. By the way, when I talked about this last time, I did get hate mail. So those who want to send hate mail, you're welcome to do so. But you got to eat fish twice a week. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, I ask you every now and then when we talk about fish oil this question. We take fish oil. My dog takes fish oil for pain. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and fish oil may work for pain and arthritis. Yes. And it may work to reduce the numbers if you really just care about looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
In other words, if the numbers, you know, if the numbers mean a lot to you, well, you can take it, but don't think you're getting much. And I would recommend you take your fish oil with fish.
Do you think something Zorba said sounds a bit fishy? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org or through Facebook.
We will see you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org and Facebook.
Don't forget you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll be with us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0307Z. More information on Zorba, his clinic, and healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, and show archives, is available online at zorbapastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.